At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm John Betts with Professor Barry Strauss of the Hoover Institution, emeritus at Cornell University. His new book is Jews versus Rome, and it is the 4th century A.D., and the very prominent Christian bishop, Jerome, is writing of the Gallus Revolt. What is that, Professor?
So, yes, good question. What is that? It's a revolt that takes place in the year 351 and 352. Gallus is the Roman official in charge of the eastern part of the Roman Empire, a relative of the emperor. And we don't actually know very much about this revolt. We get a few bits and snatches about it from the ancient sources, particularly for both from the Christian sources and the pagan Roman sources. And it seems to take place in the Galilee. There's a figure, a man named Patricius, and Patrick, not generally considered a Jewish name nowadays, but it was in ancient times, because we know of a man who endowed a synagogue named Patricius. And the Roman source, the pagan source, says that the Jews treated him as a king, which makes many of us suspect they treated him as a Messiah. Now, the revolt was centered in the Galilee, but there were still a few Jews living in Judea, in the historic heartland, not far from Jerusalem. And in recent years, archaeologists have found coin hoards from these revolts. The rebels did not issue their own coins. They used Roman coins. But these coins were buried in places that were destroyed at the time of the Gallus Rebellion. What were they rebelling against? Well, we don't really know what the Romans had done to inspire a revolt. There's this one building in the city of Lod in central Israel. Building's been excavated. It doesn't have any pig bones in it, which leads people to suspect it was a Jewish building, perhaps a study hall, perhaps a synagogue, and there are coins that are buried there at the time of the Gallus Revolt. The revolt was put down, but the Romans send in their best general in the east, a man named Ursicinus, and he puts the revolt down. But as you can see from what I'm saying, we just don't know that much about it. But we're learning more about it all the time. And I think scholars are turning their attention, archaeologists are turning their attention to seeing what we can learn about this revolt.
This part of the map, it's important for us to emphasize, is so troublesome to Rome over so many centuries that the only time I know they rename a Roman province from Judea to Palestine. And that was to insult the Jews, but it was Palestine on the basis of what? The Philistine story? Is that why?
Judea, ancient Israel, was never mono-ethnic. There are always different ethnic groups in it. The Jews were the dominant people, probably the majority as well. But there were Greek speakers, and there were small groups of Arabs in the north and the south. There are also Samaritans in Samaria, who follow the Torah, the five books of Moses, but they don't recognize Jerusalem as their center, and they have their own temple on Mount Gerizim near modern Nablus. Anyhow, the Greek speakers called the country not Judea or Israel, they called it Palestine. And that Palestine probably comes from the Philistines, who had lived on the coast centuries earlier. And now the Romans, as punishment, changed the name of the province from Judea to Syria Palestina, which eventually becomes Palestine. So, as you say, this is the only time the Romans changed the name of a province as punishment for a revolt. They do change the names of provinces for other reasons, but this is the only one as punishment for a revolt. And they're making it clear they're not going to deal with the Jews anymore. They're going to deal with the Greeks as local intermediaries. The Romans always have to have locals who they govern the empire with. They don't do it on their own.
Palestine, what part did it play in the Byzantine Empire when the emperor divided after 395? Was it troublesome to the Greek speakers in Constantinople?
Only in that the Christian majority in Palestine, only if the Christian majority didn't happen to agree with the emperor's religious position at the time. But the Jewish population, on the whole, was not troublesome to the Romans in Palestine until an Iranian invasion in the 7th century in the year 614. It's no longer the Parthian Empire. There's a new dynasty. It's the Sasanian Empire. And there are Jews who welcome the Sasanians, who join the rebellion, and the Sasanians reward them by allowing them to return to Jerusalem and to govern Jerusalem again, which they do for a very brief period, just a few years, before the Sasanians change their mind and withdraw, turn the city back to the Christians. And the Sasanians are defeated. The Byzantines come back. They reestablish their rule. They punish the Jews, force some of them to kill some, force others to convert to Christianity, drive them out of Jerusalem. But very shortly afterwards, the Islamic conquest. Right. The Muslims come in and they allow the Jews to settle in Jerusalem, but not to be on top, to be second-class citizens. And Jerusalem is now going to be a wholly Muslim city in turn.
That's the 7th century.
That's right. Yes, the 7th century.
There's a Roman city you can visit, remains of it. It's called Scythopolis in North Israel, that you can get a sense of the Roman presence once upon a time.
Yes.
That the Jews were bold enough to revolt from. My goodness. The book is Jews versus Rome. We could go on, but we're going to stop with the 7th century. Barry Strauss is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, John. My pleasure.
I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.